This is Reset Your Buttons with Mary Elizabeth Murphy, Episode 2, Realistic Resolutions, Part 2. Now here's your host, Mary Elizabeth.
Thank you, Gary. Each of us has 1,440 minutes in every day to use as we would like, and some of them are used when we sleep, work, and play. And today, you're investing 20 or 30 of your precious minutes with us. So thank you. I'm Mary Elizabeth, and it's my goal to always make sure that your investment yields a high return. Last week, we launched our Reset Your Buttons podcast with our first episode, Reset Your Buttons and Set Realistic Resolutions, Part 1, with my guest, Gary Ardakis. Today, Gary returns along with my friend and colleague, Linda Herrick, owner of Alternative Solutions. Linda is a certified hypnotist and Reiki master who has spent over 23 years in the industry. In addition to her private practice, she runs Alternative Solutions Academy, where she is also the lead instructor. Welcome, Linda.
Hi, nice to be here.
Thank you, and welcome, Gary.
Hello.
So after our last podcast, Gary and I continued the conversation about ruts. And he said, I think what I would have liked to have said is grooves instead of ruts. And when I heard that, that's when I thought, oh, maybe it might be a good idea to call in my friend Linda to join in the conversation with us. But before you do, Gary, can you tell us a little bit more about why you were thinking grooves versus ruts?
Apparently, or probably, ruts has a bad connotation. You know, it's things people want to get out of or feel uneasy with them. So, of course, most of my ruts, as we discussed, I strove for. And so they're actually what I would call grooves. Like being in the groove. Because I like things to move along smoothly, automatically, and no hitches.
Okay, great. Thank you. The first R in the reset model is to recognize that a button's been pushed. And we also know that many of the things that can push our buttons or trigger us, if you will, are words. So the groove versus rut is certainly an example of this. Like even when you were saying groove, I'm like, oh, groove, it's nice and smooth. So Linda, tell us a little bit about why is that different? How does that matter? And how does that help us with setting realistic resolutions?
Well, you know, words are very important. We're always communicating with our subconscious mind. And really, would you rather be groovy or rutty? I mean, you know, groovy is a more friendly, I agree with Gary, it's a more friendly sounding word. A groove sounds like something that you want to be in, a repeated pattern that serves you. A rut sounds like a repeated pattern that does not serve you and that you are stuck in and you want to get out of.
Mm. Okay, perfect. And as a certified hypnotist and Reiki master, your private practice is filled with clients who want to create realistic resolutions or change habits. So just like we're talking about here, using the word groove versus rut, why is it important to reframe from rut to groove and other ways that you help your clients around words?
Well, if you were to tell a client or tell someone, oh, you're in a rut, that tends to, all words carry energy and meaning and feelings, and that would tend to get someone to be rather defensive, perhaps. And so instead of saying, hey, would you like to be in another rut, a different new rut, the chances are very good that answer would be no, I don't want to be in a new rut. However, if you were to say, would you like to get into the groove or get into a new groove, the chances are someone would say, yeah, that does sound much more appealing. And so it really is the energy of the words and the emotion behind the words that speak to our subconscious mind and speak to our heart.
I'm wondering something else that I heard you say recently, and you're talking about getting into a rut or out of a rut. No, I don't want to be in a rut, right? So how about mm-hmm. changing grooves? You had mentioned to me one time, some clients come to you for diet, or they may come to you to quit smoking. Mm-hmm. And you said, it's not about quitting smoking. Anybody can stop smoking. It's how to not start again.
Absolutely. One of the things that I point out to smokers, even if they're smoking 2 packs a day, that's not one long continuous cigarette. If you smoke a pack of cigarettes a day, you quit smoking 20 times a day because your cigarette's done and you're done. You've quit. So the challenge isn't quitting smoking. They're really good at doing that often. The challenge is not to start smoking again. So once you put out that cigarette, you're done and you've quit, and that's a great job. So the challenge is really not quitting smoking. The challenge is not lighting up a cigarette.
Okay. So
just going to say, it's just a matter of reframing it. A lot of people who have attempted to quit smoking feel defeated going into it. A lot of times, you know, it can be a challenging situation to redo certain patterns and things like that. And if you get someone to take a look at it in a different way, it helps them to see, wait a minute, that does make sense. And I always strive to empower my clients to assist them in their changing their patterns.
Okay. So the reframe also brings to mind for me the E in the reset model, which is around expectations. So by reframing the words, are you also helping to reframe the expectation? You mentioned being defeated, like the idea of quitting smoking, I already feel defeated.
Correct. And no one wants to be a quitter. No one, when you lose weight, who wants to be a loser and a quitter? So reframe that. So they're walking in with a better energy about it and a better way to take a look at it. I don't like the term non-smoker, ex-smoker, that type of thing, because smoker's in there. And so I tend to tell folks that think of it as going back to nature. It's natural to breathe air. It's not natural to breathe smoke. So you're just going back to being your natural state.
Okay, I think that's pretty exciting, and I'm wondering, Gary, as you hear what Linda's describing, and again, you think a little bit about we talked in part one about how you created your exercise routine and why. Is there anything that you can add to that when you hear that about what's natural, what's in the groove, what's easy for you? How do you use those types of things? If at all?
Well, I probably think about what it all entails, what it involves, how I'm going to get through it, and find ways that I can meet the criteria, but in such a way that is cheaper and maybe easier, and be able to work around other things that I need to do and want to do, and still hopefully get the benefit.
Okay, so Linda, when you hear that, given your expertise, how does that fit with what we're talking about? How does that support realistic resolutions?
I have a question, Gary, about cheaper. You said something about cheaper and something along with the cheaper and you're just trying to get through it. Is that what I heard? So there's that really enthusiasm regarding exercise. It's just getting through the drudgery of exercise.
I can guarantee you there's no enthusiasm when it comes to exercise. but I do realize the need and the benefit. I do understand that. It may be different than it was long time ago when, you know, if you to compete or to participate in sports or something, you know, it's just what you did. But yeah, there's no fun involved, as I referenced last episode. Mm-hmm.
What about the self-talk? If you could shift your self-talk while exercising, would that, do you feel that perhaps it may shift your experience of exercising?
I don't necessarily think so. One of the things, because I have this belief that unless, well, it's kind of like that no pain, no gain thing. But, you know, there are roofers and there are construction workers and there are people that labor hard and long and they're still overweight and unfit. So how does that work? I see it as something, it can't be just part of your job. It's not really going to keep you that fit. There has to be, you know, like sports. You could, I played sports for a long time, and it didn't necessarily keep me in shape just by playing sports. See, because you can't, mm-hmm. I don't think you get fit by having fun, no matter what they say on the TNV.
So you may not get fit by having fun, and I agree with that. That doesn't, but you could still consider. Based on self-talk, I mean, you know, it's a salad isn't anywhere near as fun as a banana split unless you reframe that salad.
Well, that sounds right. like trying to trick yourself. And that's why diets don't normally work.
And yeah, that's why, well, that's a whole different thing. But what I'm saying is that there's, you know, banana splits are great. So why aren't you just eating banana splits three times a day? It's because at some point you go, you know what? My body needs something a little better than that. That's fine once in a while, but I want to eat well. I want to move my body so it continues to move. And as opposed to, oh, it's so drudgery. It's what drudgery I'm moving my body. You can say, isn't it great that I'm keeping my body limber or strong or whatever that case is for the exercise that you're doing at the time and appreciating it, and you're more likely to do it under those circumstances. Or what I would say is why be miserable? Make yourself shift it so you're feeling better about everything when you're doing it.
I guess that's my question. So when we moved from ruts to groove, right? Mm-hmm. I don't enjoy exercising, and in fact, I don't do it. And as Gary mentioned in the shoulds of what is good for us, I do know that it would be good for me to exercise. He does. And what's interesting to me in our conversation is that I think, and Gary, correct me if I'm wrong, that part of your way, it's always a get through it. Like I'm going to do it and I'm going to get through it. Right. Is that pretty much how you feel about exercise?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. I mean, I have my routine set up so that I know pretty much it's how long it's going to take. So there's, you know, when I hear get through it, that implies well, you don't know when it's going to end. So I pretty much know when my stuff's going to end. So I know what it takes before I even start, what it's going to take to get through it.
And then what do you say to yourself along the way?
Well, there's another little part to it, is if it weren't for listening to MP3 player while I'm doing it, I might be doing a little, my time spent would be probably a little less. But mm-hmm. Then I actually feel guilty about that sometimes, because, no, if I'm listening to a podcast of some sort or music, and if that takes my mind off of the actual pain and suffering of the exercise, well, that's kind of like, you know, having fun while you're exercising, and maybe that's not as beneficial. No, you got to feel and acknowledge that what's happening internally and is supposed to be helping you physically.
So you really do believe if you feel no pain, there's no gain. As opposed to I get to do something pleasurable while I'm exercising.
Like listen to the MP3.
That's a wonderful tool. And when you say, oh, goody, it's time to listen to the MP3 and listen to this podcast. I'm so excited about this. And I'll be walking or exercising, whatever I'm going to be doing something else while I do it. You know, a lot of people who don't like exercising don't mind walking their dog, which is exercising because they're out in the fresh air, they're with the dog, they're at a dog, but whatever that is. So it certainly gets the job done without being miserable.
Oh, yes, that's exactly the same, because you're getting exercise, and you're only going to walk the dog as long as you can walk yourself. So.
That's right.
Or Jack. Okay, dog, time to be done here. But you're also with your dog, and you know it's good for them, and you know it's good for you, and you're not alone.
Or so you take a stroll after dinner with your loved ones, and it's a lovely experience. So all of that is pleasure, and since it's pleasure, you're more apt to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that all those things are fun in the sense of playing a game, you know, playing some flag football or another sport, cornhole or whatever it is. It's not going to be no exercise.
No, I agree with you. My husband loves to shovel the driveway himself because he thinks it's great exercise. So, you know, he's fine when it snows and went out and got a big snowblower and he never uses it because he goes, oh, it's just as quick to shovel the driveway myself, and it's good exercise. And he's happy he's exercising, he's happy he's shoveling. And
that is good exercise. It's definitely good exercise. Mm-hmm. People die doing it, but
it's good exercise. It's not always good for you.
Right. Part of the reason that they say people die from it is because they don't exercise, and then they go out and shovel snow and their body can't handle it.
Correct. He does do other exercises besides that. So, but he's big on exercising. I don't know what's with these men, Mary Beth. So,
So here's a couple of things I'm hearing, and I just want to check in on. So we're talking today about realistic resolutions, part two. We picked up from the conversation that Gary and I had in part one around how he goes about setting his resolutions, changing a habit, his planning process, and how he sustains it, which he's done a great job of doing over the years. After that call, or after that podcast, we then started talking a little bit more about it, and he suggested that maybe instead of ruts, he's more looking at the groove he wants to be in. That's brought Linda into the conversation with us to talk about some of the power of words and the energy behind words and why it's important that we reframe these words, which is the recognize and also the expectations that we talk about in the reset model. I think it also speaks a little bit to the resilience to continue to do the thing we said we wanted to do, right? So it's resilience or sustainability. And there's something else around sense of self, which is knowing yourself and knowing what you need in order to change this habit. So Linda, is there anything else that you can share with us before we go into closing about that, about you mentioned to Gary something about, so you believe that if without pain, there's no gain. And we're not here to tell people that they have to change their beliefs, right?
No, absolutely not. Okay. You work around beliefs and you can reframe beliefs. If I say, it's this time of year where all the gyms are crowded, you know, so February is the best time to join a gym from what I understand because the crowds are all gone by then. That's it. I'm going to eat right, and I'm going to exercise, and this is the year I'm going to really get into shape, or whatever that resolution may be. And oftentimes it's unrealistic, and I'm going to lose 50 pounds in January, you'll see, and I'll fit into that dress I wore in high school. And that may not be realistic enough, and you've kind of set yourself up for failure. So instead, if you take that into baby steps and see what would motivate you that you would keep going. Certainly, someone did not get into a two-pack-a-day habit in a week, and they didn't gain 50 pounds in 2 weeks. So you're probably not going to reverse that in that same length of time. Give yourself a little bit of time to do that. What's something that's really good for you? There's all kinds of different ways that you can change patterns. And one of the simple things that you can do if you feel that you are in a rut is to really change your physiology and what you do on a physical basis. For instance, if I want to say, you know, quit smoking, for instance, step into the shower with a different foot. Do everything differently. Move your coffee pot into a different place in your kitchen. Sit in a different chair. You'll notice that we tend to do everything rather automatically. When you get into your car, you're not consciously thinking, now the key goes in the ignition. You just get in your car and you start driving before you know it. Remember back when you learned to drive, you really were aware of everything and every little step. And then after a while, it just became a habit. So whenever you want to change a habit, you want to change a lot of things so you're really creating new neurons and neural pathways in your brain. So to get out of a rut, create something different. And that's not just when I go to pick up a cigarette or a cupcake or a Twinkie. Do they still make those? I don't know. But whenever they go to do that, change everything around my morning routine to support that new groove that I want to experience.
Wow, Linda. So how does, now I'm really fascinated, how does changing, and again, I suspect what I think I know about Gary is just the idea of changing seven different habits in your morning routine to change one habit, I'm feeling anxious about. So
we go through so much of our activities unconsciously, and then before you know it, you're into that unconscious rut. So it's really just bringing awareness to a new routine, and it's not just before you know it, you're sticking a cookie in your mouth or what have you, or a cigarette or speeding or whatever the case may be, whatever you want to change. Change several different things. That way it's like it tells your brain, oh, this is a new day. I'm not sitting in my same old seat. I'm sitting in this seat today. I'm drinking out of this coffee cup. I am brushing my teeth with my left hand. Whatever that is, it just brings your awareness to different little movements that you make, which assist you in getting, not going into that rut and getting into a new groove. It's just breaking patterns.
And what I'm hearing you say is in order to make a new habit, in order to make one new habit, we want to break several patterns at one time to support the new habit.
Correct. Anything that leads up to that old rut, if you have to take 5 steps out of your front door and turn left, and there you are in the rut, you want to make sure that you're going out the back door and hanging a right instead or what have you. You just don't go those same steps out of your front door, and before you know it, you're in that rut without even realizing it, because your subconscious mind, that's the whole idea of a rut. So bring other things to your awareness and just be aware until a new groove is established.
You know, I think I'm getting this. And then I'll ask Gary to jump in here. I think I'm getting this. So because if the only thing I want to change is to stop smoking, but I keep doing everything else that I've always done, then I'm still reinforcing the rut of the, and making it even more difficult on myself, because the rut that I created, the neural pathway, is saying, okay, it's morning, you're having coffee, it's time for your cigarette.
Correct.
You know, you just got in the car, you started the car, it's time to light your cigarette. And it's so funny because back in the day, which was, you know, almost over 30 years ago when I smoked, those were the times after dinner, right, that I would have a cigarette. So what I'm hearing you say is, truly, if that one habit is the thing you want to change, recognize, think about the things that are ancillary almost to that habit that bring What are the other things you do? What are the other habits you have that support that one habit that you have? Is that what you're
saying? Yes, absolutely. Have you ever seen the autobiography in 5 chapters? I walk down the street, there's a hole in the sidewalk.
Oh, right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I walk down that same street in chapter 2, there's a big hole in the sidewalk. I still fall in, it's a habit. Chapter 3, I walk down that same street, there's a big hole in the sidewalk. I fall in, I get out immediately. Chapter 4, I walk around that hole. In chapter 5, I walk down a different street. And so I'm just saying, walk down a different street, you won't be falling into that hole or that rut.
Right. So it's almost a way to speed up a little bit the baby steps. Just avoid the street altogether from the start.
Yeah. Okay. And create a different street.
Mm-hmm. So Gary, what do you think about all that?
I think I'm so happy that I don't have to quit smoking. I've spent a lot of time and years developing my grooves.
I do think, though, and we don't have time for this today, but if you were to give it more thought, and I think you probably will, Linda, based on what you just said, you, Gary, had to change a lot of those little habits, change those routines in order to get into your new routine to work out. And I know also what happens, and I always think this, I kind of put this on myself and think it's unfortunate that depending on how my day is going and how you're supporting me and the business and, you know, what's the time flow, that has impacted your time to work out, your groove, because you have a pattern and a routine, a groove that you use to work out in. And when the business demands are what they will be or life happens, sometimes you've had to change that pattern.
You're talking to me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is true. And that's actually built into my game plan. One thing I don't get into something that has to actually have to be certain time, certain day, like that, because I have to be flexible, and that's my job. Things that I do develop and do have an interest in, and things that I need to do and want to do and should do, they have to have a certain amount of flexibility. And, you know, it's not the end of the world if, well, my exercise routine, for instance, it's like 3 days a week, big deal. They don't necessarily have to be the same days. Preferably, they'd be split up by a day or two. If I've had to do them 3 days in a row, then so be it. You know, just you have to adapt.
Right. But that wasn't what it was when you started. When you started, you had a pretty well daily, you know, it was every other day. You had a routine around it. And life allowed that to happen a little bit more. If I recall, this was a few years ago, but.
Well, ideally, you know, if the weather is right and time availability is right, time of day, et cetera, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, that'd be great. Right. Well, sometimes other things, you know, you have to, what did Clint Eastwood say? You have to improvise, adapt, and overcome.
I will say, Gary, it sounds like you have set up a system that works for you and that you are flexible enough to say, if it doesn't work over here, it's okay, because I'll make it work over there. And that's the key, is that you're not an all or nothing. Oh, I missed my Wednesday workout, therefore, my self-talk is, I've blown the exercise program, I might as well never exercise again. A lot of people are very all or nothing. And your flexibility, and it seems like you've really set up a program to set you up for success.
You're probably correct, have better insight than I do in these kinds of things. except that it's for another podcast, maybe, or a book. I am kind of an all or nothing guy when it comes to certain things.
But and knowing that, you set your exercise program up that you're not an all or nothing guy. You're flexible in it, and therefore it's successful for you. It works for you.
Yeah, only because I realized that I need to do some exercise. I'm just not going crazy about it.
Yeah.
I call it, part of that is, you've heard of bipolar?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm polar. That path of least resistance.
Path of least resistance. Good for you.
Okay, well, on that note, I think we've covered quite a bit of ground again today, and I want to thank both my guests for joining us and taking a deeper dive into how we reset buttons in order to set realistic resolutions. And keeping with our model, it's recognizing what's triggering the button, what words are we using that we may need to change, getting clear about the expectations of what we want to do, understanding ourselves enough. Are we an all or nothing guy, or are we polar in the path of least resistance? Where is our flexibility? So who are we? The sense of self, and then values, which we talked a bit more about in the first podcast, but again, the values of wanting to have a quality life in the case of exercise, and quality lifestyle, being able to do things, and then once again, the taking stock, which is the personal ownership of what is it that I want to do, and looking forward to those outcomes. What's the outcome I want, and where are the places I know that I might get stuck to not get that outcome? My big takeaway from today is this idea, Linda, that you shared with us about don't just change a habit, change the things that support the habit. I do love the autobiography in 5 chapters. We'll include a link to that. We'll find a link for that in our show notes. I'm going to spend some time with this. If I want to change this habit, what are the things surrounding it that I need to change? That's huge. And I also want to let our listeners know, I want to thank Gary again for sharing his real life experience and application. You can also find Gary at Go Fast, Turn Left Race Shop Tours. If at some point in time you're in the Charlotte area and you're interested in NASCAR, he is your concierge race shop tour guide. Linda and I will be in Charlotte together for our Reset Your Buttons, It's Time to Reset Your Buttons live event on March 9th and 10th. So you can come and meet us both here. There will be more information about that on resetyourbuttons.com website. We'll also be together in Chicago in April. You can find Linda by going to lindaherrick.com and learning more about herself, the work she does in her private practice, as well as the Alternative Solutions Academy. And please do take a minute to go to resetyourbuttons.com. We do have the page set up now. We have a podcast page. We have a place for you to leave comments. We'd love to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, input about this podcast. Your feedback is very important to us, and it helps to build our Reset Your Buttons community. So thank you, Linda.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you. And Linda.
And until next time, I remain joyfully yours. Bye for now.